Up there is a picture of our planet that we live on. Astronauts will tell you that, and we don't get to experience this unless we get to go up into space. But that when they go, and either if they're at the space station or looking out of the spacecraft or that, when you're looking at Earth, when you have that perspective of looking from space to the Earth, it changes, it alters everything how you think about people and how you think about Earth. Changes your perception, your whole view. They say, because what you see then when you're out there and you're looking back, you see our home. You see the home for humanity, and you see the home for creation, our animals, our insects, birds, everything. You see a complete home for all of life. And they say when you return, that alteration doesn't go away. It stays. It stays with you. You see one. You see people. There's no political divisions. There's none of that, because being out there looking down, you see a world full of people, and it's about perspective, and it changes everything. Changes absolutely everything. And there's something about that when you encounter a reality, a major truth in life, whatever that looks like, and we all do from time to time, it changes you. It changes how you see life, how you read things into life. It changes how you approach life. It changes everything. It has a huge impact. Now, we've entitled this series Awake, because we know what our statement of faith says as far as believing that Christ died, he was buried, and then he rose again. And we say that. But the implications of that, if it's true, are huge. Huge. Now, if you can imagine, if you have any idea what it must have been like for the disciples, first Sunday, it was a Sunday evening, actually, and they are locked in a house. And this is just after Jesus has been crucified. And it says they are locked in there because they are fearful. It's like us coming together here, locking our doors up, because what we're afraid of is we've heard it, that's on the street, that, you know, the regional police are looking for anyone who are followers of this certain person. And you can imagine the fear that would have been going through something, like, because they're real people. The disciples, I hope, they're real people. Hollywood has done us a disservice in making them look like manicured, you know, men and women. That would have been terrifying. Now, let's add another thing that's terrifying. And we read it so, and when I say this, this isn't accusatory, but we read it without, it doesn't have an impact. It hits us like a feather, right, when we read these things. But you read John, and there they were, Sunday night. They're huddled together, locked doors. And it says, suddenly Jesus appeared. And that's how we read it. Suddenly Jesus appeared. Let me tell you something. If an entity appeared right now in our midst, there would be a look on your face that wouldn't leave for a long time. And when you got home today, your family would go, so how was church? And you'd be going. Because John records in his gospel that suddenly Jesus appeared in their midst. Real human body, but they didn't have to come through the door. How would you deal with that one? How would you deal with that? It says they were filled with joy. when Jesus spoke to them, and his greeting was, "Peace be with you." And probably he had to calm down a little bit. Imagine Bartholomew was probably like, "Ah!" Maybe, I don't know. But that encounter, if you had had that encounter, would it change your life? It did happen, though. It did happen. You can bet dimes to donuts for the disciples, their life was changed. It changed absolutely everything. Everything. And how they would have viewed life from then on, that moment on, would have been totally different. But what about all the other believers? What about all the other believers since that then that haven't seen the resurrected Jesus? A little different, eh? A little different. We haven't had that encounter. You and I haven't had that encounter. Now, true. So what do we have? Well, we have the Holy Spirit with us, right? If you've encountered that, if you've had the Holy Spirit fill you, if you've encountered the Holy Spirit, you have that. But it's a challenge, right? To understand the implications of a resurrection. Remember, this Jesus appearing wasn't like Lazarus, right? Lazarus walked out of the tomb. Jesus just appeared in a room. Really? Can you wrap your head around that? Because I can't. I can't imagine all of a sudden. Because it would be, where'd you come? Like, it wouldn't even be, where'd you come from? You're supposed to be dead. Right? You're supposed to be dead. And it's a challenge to really grasp the reality of the resurrection. And we find ourselves sometimes living as people of the doctrine. You hear me? Sometimes we are people of the doctrine. We know our statement of faith. We know what we believe, right? We can quote it. When in reality, we should be people of the resurrection is what we should be. That's what we should be, people of the resurrection. That's what the church is, people of the resurrection. That's what we're about. That's what we're about. What do you think we put a cross up on a steeple, different churches do? An empty cross. That's about resurrection, right? That's new life. Changes everything. Everything. Don, I forgot for you to share. We're going to pause here because this is a great story, which is almost like resurrection, isn't it, for you? Can you share with us? You want the mic?
Sure.
So everybody can hear, because I wouldn't want anybody to miss. Because if everybody misses, it's not good.
So most of you guys know I had a lot of struggles when I was.
This is Dawn,
daughter.
By the way.
And I went to go see my children's aid worker earlier this week, and they're closing my file permanently.
Wow.
If it wasn't the help of everybody in the church, probably wouldn't happen. Probably wouldn't have her with me. So she's good. She's 8 months, so. Gonna be holding off for a big party soon for her birthday.
That's awesome, Don. Way to go. Bless you. Now that's resurrection, right? Well, it's life transformed, is what it is. You just heard a testimony. That's right before you, right? But we forget. We forget about those. That's why we've got to hear those to encounter the reality of what Christ does in lives. That's why we got to hear that. Because that's real life. That's real down-to-earth life. Now, it's not just us who forget. All down through the centuries, Christians have forgotten about the impact, the implications of the resurrection. Paul knew it. Now, Paul was an interesting fellow in the sense that he wasn't like the disciples who actually encountered the risen Jesus. Well, he did, but in a different way. He was on the road to Damascus, and most know the story. He was on the road to Damascus. He was actually a religious Pharisee. He was zealous. We would describe him as a fundamentalist today. And he was out. He was part of the that group of people who were delegated to go route out the Christians, find them, and have them killed. That was his job as a religious leader. Go figure that one, eh? Religious, here's your job. Go find the Christians and kill them, and that's what he was about. And on the road to Damascus, bang, he got confronted. huge light that says, blinding light, that actually blinded him, and a voice. Imagine that if you get that on the way home from church today. Bang! And a voice. Paul, or Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? And Saul, and he goes, who are you? I'm Jesus. And he encountered Jesus. Boom. From that moment on, that changed everything for Saul, because even his name got changed. Everything changed for him. And when you read his letters, Paul is always trying to remind believers, don't forget the power of the resurrection. Don't forget your resurrection, people. Don't ever forget that. Because that changes everything, absolutely everything. And one of the churches that Paul had to address this was the church in Colossae. It's his letter to the Colossians, and it was a city there, and he had to remind them because they were forgetting, they were going off the rails a bit. And going off the rails, what did that look like? They were becoming religious. So if you're becoming religious, that means you're going off the rails a bit. You're forgetting about the resurrection. We won't go into what all that means, though. But what's interesting in Colossians is that Paul starts off like he does most of his letters. He high-fives the church. You are awesome. You guys, I bless you. I pray for you guys. Your faith is great. It's known throughout all the region. You guys rock. He goes in there. Then all of a sudden, it's like, you know what he does? Let me find this sheet. How do we start? Oh, I can't find the song. That's okay. We sang it today. Doesn't matter. He goes in there, and all of a sudden, he just plunks right in the middle of his letter a song, a hymn that they know. It's probably popular throughout the churches. There's a hymn in there. And it's a beautiful hymn because the hymn talks about Jesus being the center, the very center of all of creation, that Jesus was at the center when everything was created, and Jesus is at the center of new creation. And he talks about that but the hymn talks about that. And it's a beautiful hymn. I don't know how the tune goes, but it's awesome. And then he comes to the last stanza. There's the last stanza of the hymn, and it goes like this. And through him, Jesus, God reconciled everything to himself. He made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by means of Christ's blood on the cross. And that's how it ends. And then Paul says in his letter, he writes, right after that hymn, he writes this right here. This includes, it does, this is words, quote, from the Bible. This includes you, and it's a wake-up call to the church. You sing this song all the time, and you forget this is you. This is you. You have been reconciled, and reconciled just means, you know, all the barriers broken down and sins forgiven and everything reconciled back to its original, what God did through Christ. And he said, this includes you. And how often we sing songs like, you know the songs we sing, and we can sing them without even thinking about what the words mean. So easy. I do it all the time. I can't multitask, but you know what I can do is I can sing a song here and be thinking about what I'm going to have for lunch. Go figure that. And how many? I wonder how many of you are guilty of that too yourself. And I hope you are. Otherwise, I'm on my own. But it's like Paul wants to shake them out of their deep sleep they're in. This includes you. You. This is you. And also, and about in the first two sentences after that hymn, he talks about this includes you. This means you. This is you. This is you, you, you. And Paul's just like this. And I love how he does that. And I believe he's that animated. We read it softly like a feather. And I don't see Paul as a feather. I see him as pretty tough. I like Paul a lot, as you can tell. But then he continues on in his letter. He warns them about be careful you don't let these made-up human philosophies, and there was a lot in that day influenced by the Greek culture, but don't let human philosophies mess with your belief about who you are in Christ. And he says, careful about, and he basically says, careful about getting religious. Don't allow people to put guilt trips on you for the food you shouldn't eat or should eat, about keeping certain days more special than other days. Careful about all the do's and don'ts, he goes on, don't touch, don't taste, don't do this, don't do that. Careful, because that belongs, Paul says, to the powers of this world. And you are not of this world, he says. He says, you're not of this world. And then you hit chapter 3. In verses 1, 2, and 3, he lays out a strategy how to stay in that place of that you are the people of resurrection, that you are a person of resurrection. You belong to a different world, a different place. Those three verses are our foundation. They're our launching pad for this series that we're going to be on. We're going to launch from there. And if you remember nothing else, I want you to remember three words. Right there. Three words. Since, set, and think. Those three. And those three words are found in chapters 1, 2, and 3. Because he wants a strategy. He wants them to know and remember and never to forget and to walk out and to live in the reality that you are resurrection people. And he wants to wake them up to that fact, of that reality. So let's talk about since. And he starts off with, since you have been raised to new life with Christ. That word since is a powerful word because it talks about something that has happened. It's a reality. It's taken place. It's past tense. And he's saying to them, something is taking place and you are the recipients of this. You are the recipients of it. Don't forget. And he's waking them up to this reality. He says back in chapter 1, when he was writing, he makes this statement. He says this. He says, he's talking about Jesus here. He says, for he has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his dear Son. You've been transferred from one kingdom over to another kingdom. You don't live here in this kingdom any longer, he's saying. You live here. That's what he's saying. I remember when I was going through my probationary training as a police officer. I was 21. All training takes place at the Ontario Police College in Aylmer, Ontario. And I remember I clearly, this was emblazoned into my head. We always had to parade for duty at the beginning of each day. And you're all just clean-cut recruits, right? You know, hair polished, everything, right? You know, everything's trim. And the night before, there had been a bit of a party. There was two bars in the Ontario Police. There's two bars there, and some guys would go out. They didn't want you to go out to a bars in the town of Aylmer or go to London. And some had gotten a little carried away. Anyway, the drill sergeant, he's a good guy, actually. But I remember him. This is our howdy doody first thing in the morning. He said, I understand you had a good, I understand you had a good night last night. But he goes, here's a question. Were you sworn in as officers? And I was like, you know, yeah, yes. And it was like, if you were, then you're an officer. And if you're an officer, act like one. You know. And he wasn't speaking to me because I was a good boy. And I was, of course. Don't doubt it for a second. But it's something about, since this has happened, it changes everything. And if it doesn't change, because he did say, if you're not sure if you're an officer, you need to leave. You need to get out of here. So he was hard on us that day. But that word since this has happened, it needs to alter everything. Everything. Since. Don't forget that word, since. Next word is set. And Paul goes right from this, that sentence I gave you. Set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. Setting your sights. Have you ever seen athletes? Are they focused? I mean athletes. Tova, if I can use you as an example, you like volleyball. But you're fairly intense about it, right? Right. I can almost guarantee that you, when you're about ready to start a game, nothing else can distract you. That you're so focused. That's what setting your sights is, being focused like that. Being focused. Look, it's looking, where is it you want to go? Look in that direction. And Paul is calling the readers, calling us, reminding us, look where you want to go. Your resurrection people, look in that place. That's why he's saying, set your sights in the realities of heaven. That heaven's not some figurative language. It is real. It is real. The kingdom of God is real. It's more real than this earth. That's what Paul gets down to. That's what Jesus was getting down to. It's more real than earth. It's being intentional. It's making sure you don't allow anything to distract you. So look where you want to go. That's setting your sights, focusing, being intentional, being intense. Good. And then think. And he says, think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth. I chuckle at that because my mother used to always tell us, my mother, I have so many stories of my mother. My dad was just nice and level and steady Harold. My mother would say about some people that they're so heavenly minded that they're no earthly good. As, you know, it's like we'd go, yeah, we know what you're saying, Mom. But Paul is saying, he's cautioning you that don't become so earthly minded, right? That you forget about the realities of heaven, that you forget about it. Paul is saying, think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth. Remember, this is a mind game, right? The enemy, and we'll talk about two things that mess with our mind. The enemy can mess with our mind. But I think we sometimes give the enemy too much credit for messing with our minds. He does. He puts doubts. He puts questions in, right? That's what he did with Adam and Eve, right? Did God really say? No accusation. He didn't accuse anybody. He just asked a question. I'm just asking a question. Did God really say that? Messes with our minds. But you know what really messes with our minds? You know who really does? You do. You mess with your own mind many, many times. It's what's up here. What do you believe? What do you really believe? Because from there, you'll posture yourself a certain way. It's what you believe here. You know, you can tell, you just have to watch somebody. Tell what they really believe. They can say, you can rhyme off what your statement of faith is or what your theological doctrine, background, whatever. Let's just see how you live life. We'll tell you what you believe. It's true. It's true. I don't know if you agree with that. You can go, no, I don't. But I would beg to differ. I beg to differ. Of course, I'll use, you know, what I've experienced in my life. Being a police officer, just because you had a gun and a badge and a uniform, didn't make you a police officer. You know what made you a police officer? Here. Here, inside your head. Because you could have this, and if you thought that this was going to make you a police officer, you're a danger. You need to have, give us your gun, give us your badge. You're a danger. You're a power dude. Go away. You're dangerous. Now, what makes you a police officer is in here. What you're thinking, what you believe about yourself. Because let me tell you something. If you get yourself into a situation and you have doubts, if you're at an altercation, bar fight, whatever, and you have doubts about who you are, about people can smell that a mile away. And it doesn't matter you're wearing a uniform. It doesn't matter that at all. Right? It's what you believe. It's what's in here. What's in here? And as you think and as you focus and as you set your sights on the realities of heaven, it changes how you see life. Because here's the impact. If the resurrection is true, what's the big, like, and I'm not downplaying it, but when it comes to death, the death of this body, big deal? And you don't have to go with the answer. You don't have to say, oh, the answer is yeah. No, it's not a big deal. Because death is painful, right? When a loved one dies, it's painful. But in reality, it's just this body, Paul calls it a tent. Call it whatever. It's just your body that wastes away, right? It gets old, it gets creaky, gets cranky, and it can't last. It doesn't last, right? Right? It doesn't last. Because what really, have you ever wondered what looks out through those eyes? That's the thing that Jesus is after, right? It's us as people, that thing in there. Think. So sense, set, and think. And here's the reality, guys. And this is why Paul is bringing this, hammering this home all the time. It's these last words here. That's the reality. Read that. Now, don't read it like you've read it a million times. Read it as if you're reading it for the first time. For you died to this life. You're dead. Paul wants believers to consider themselves dead. And we're talking now about he's talking not about the physical, but the spiritual. And not even to consider. There's a reality here that has taken place. If you've said yes to Jesus, and we'll get into this more on, but the whole thing of baptism is huge. Because baptism mirrors death and resurrection. And Paul says what has taken place in reality is you've died and you've been now been raised to new life in Christ. New life. God has raised you to new life. That's the reality. Your life, he says, is hidden with Christ in God. That's how you need to live. That's how you need to look at the world. That's how you be. You be in that reality. That's the truth of the matter. That's powerful. That's powerful. So let's live in that reality. Let's try. And I want you this week, let the words sense, set, and think marinate in you. Think about it. Think about the fact that Christ did rise from the dead, resurrected. Not just resuscitated, he was resurrected, new body, and he's the first of what we're going to follow that. And that should change everything for you. That's the reality. And there's a wake-up call for the always that's going on for the church. Awake. Realize what you're about. Let's live in the reality. Let's do that. Let's together. Let's be the church of the resurrection. Let's do that. Sound good? Okay. See with new eyes. See with new eyes. New eyes this world. See it. Look around. See people with new eyes. Okay. So we're going to pray right now. There's a word I received this morning, not from somebody, what I believe God is saying, that I don't know if there's a person or persons, but you are in a situation right now that you are experiencing genuine hopelessness. Okay? Whatever that situation is. It's a you know you've entered that thing, you've crossed that line, and you are in a place of hopelessness. And God wants to break that this morning for you. He wants to break that. He wants to break it. I don't know who that is. He wants to break it, though. But let's just see what else the Holy Spirit wants to do here. We're going to go into just time of, why do we do ministry? Because we want to see, because we are people of the resurrection, right? We want to see restoration take place. We want to see resurrection take place, right? We want to live in that reality. We want to be people of that reality. So that's why we pray for one another. That's why we believe in the power of prayer. That's who God is. He comes to restore and to heal, right? Make blind eyes see, let the deaf hear, lame walk, right? Make hearts come alive, what you heard Don share today, right? Lives transformed, hope restored. That's hope. What you saw with Don was hope realized. Hope realized. Powerful. So let's pray. Father, Lord, we thank you for the reality of your resurrection. Because, Lord, we know it's not just that we are spectators of it. Lord, we are your children of the resurrection. We are light bearers of that reality, Lord. That you are calling us into that place where we recognize that there's words in Scripture that says we are strangers, we are foreigners, we are people in a foreign land. We know this isn't our permanent home. We know that. We know that. But Lord, while we're here, we want to be light bearers. We want people to see us, Lord. We want people to, when they encounter us, Lord, we want people to encounter the power of the resurrection of Christ. In our words, in our actions. So thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. If you're looking for physical healing, and I know we have great medical services available to us in our nation, in the Western world, but even they don't have all the answers to our physical problems, eh? They don't. They don't. Often do you hear doctors that say, can't do anything more for you. That's the limit. That's how we're limited as human beings. We can only do so much. Jesus made the statement that with God all things are possible. All things are possible. So I want to speak to those who, or that person here today who feels, you've crossed in a situation, there's a situation in your life, you've crossed into an area of hopelessness in that. It's like, you're a dead-end road. The tracks end. And the picture I see is Jesus comes and just makes the tracks go, and they go forever. They go forever. So if I could have some ministry team people up. And we're going to open the front for you to come and to receive prayer. And you go, you know what? I've been up for prayer for this for 20 times. Hey, you know what? There was a woman who needed healing in the Gospels there. And it said she was suffering with it for 12 years. And she went one more time and just touched Jesus. Bang, she was healed. She was healed.